Turn, if you would, to Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. We're going to take a look at verses 20 through 33. And we're going to read these verses responsively. I'll read the first verse. We'll all read the second verse together and so on. And we'll pray and get right into the message this evening. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 20 through 33. Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates in the city. She uttereth her words, saying, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I'll pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called and you refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you. Then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel, they despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way, and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely, and shall be quiet from fear of evil. Let's pray. Dear God, Heavenly Father, I want to thank you so much. I thank you, Father, for the book of Proverbs. I pray, Father, you give us ears to hear and help us, dear God, in this matter of wisdom. I pray you bless us now. Thank you for your goodness to us. In Jesus' name, I pray, amen. All right. Now, from Proverbs 1:20 all the way through Proverbs 9, verse 18, wisdom is personified as a beautiful woman, and her call to men is contrasted with the seductions of a strange woman. We saw last week sinners calling out for others to join them in their pursuit of evil, but here wisdom is calling out to be heard and heeded. In verse 20 and 23, we see wisdom is offered to men. Then in verses 24 through 33, we see wisdom is offended by men. Notice, first of all, wisdom is offered unto men. Verse 20 and 21 tells us this. Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, and the openings of the gates in the city she uttereth her words, saying. Now here we see where wisdom pleads, in crowded streets, in public places, where people gather to take care of the busyness of life, in the highways and in the byways, in the city gates where city government is conducted, markets were conveniently located. Wisdom is offered wherever men are found. She cries out to men, and her words are available to one and all who have ears to hear. Wisdom is not some well-kept secret. She offers her treasures in broad daylight and calls out to everyone. Now, I know there's secret societies, there's lodges, mystic religions that offer knowledge and status to those who are initiated into those groups. But wisdom's, God's wisdom, found in His Word, speaks with a loud, clear voice that anyone can hear if they so choose. No matter where people are, no matter who they are, they need to hear and heed wisdom's call. Every now and then, people ask me about the deep jungles of the Amazon or Africa and wonder how those people there could ever know God or His wisdom. Well, are we not told this in Psalm 19, verse 1 through 4, that the heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament showeth forth His handiwork? Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun. There was once a great scientist, and he happened to be a believer. And one day he had a friend who was an atheist. And it was getting rather late that night, and the atheist said, "You know, I just can't believe that you would believe in God." And he just looked at him and he started laughing. He says, "Well, let's take a walk outside." He says, "Take a look up." He says, "And you can't tell me that there's a God." He says, "You know what? I think you're foolish." And so is everyone who doesn't believe there is a God. You know, here we see the heavens declare what? The glory of God. Yes, wisdom is offered to one and all, and anyone can find true wisdom when they acknowledge God, since he is the source of all true wisdom. When wisdom speaks, we are to listen. When wisdom speaks, we are to obey if we expect to be blessed. James 1, 22, 25 says this, "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh in the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of this work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." Now, of course, at the beginning of James chapter 1, it does talk about wisdom. If anyone lack wisdom, what? Let him ask of God. And if we get this wisdom, we need to put it into practice. If one hears wisdom's cry and doesn't do anything with what they heard, it doesn't profit them at all. There certainly is a difference between the world's wisdom and God's wisdom. And James addresses that in James chapter 3. Verse 13 through 18, where it is written, "Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of the righteous is sown in peace of them that make peace." You know, so many believers are caught up in the wisdom of this world and have bought into such nonsense as family first. How many were brought up with that idea? I know I was. Family first. But is that what the Bible teaches? Or here's one. This one always gets me. Follow your heart. Follow your heart. What does the Bible say about the heart? The heart is deceitful and wicked above all things. Why would I want to follow that? If I followed my heart, I wouldn't follow the word. And some are so materialistic that they live with the motto, "He who dies with the most toys wins." Yet wisdom cries, Christ is to be preeminent in our lives. We are to follow Jesus. We are to do his will. And how about laying up treasures in heaven where thieves do not steal from it and where it does not rust, rather than heaping on sales toys that'll end up in the garbage dump? When will we hear wisdom's call and heed the truth of Scripture? Wisdom from above is easily found. Its voice is clear. So let's put it into practice and let's forsake the wisdom of men. In verse 22 and 23, wisdom pleads for the thoughtless masses of humanity to stop, look, and listen. She says, "How long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn ye at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I'll make known my words unto you." Now here she addresses three groups that cannot be bothered by wisdom: the simple, the scornful, and the foolish. Now, if you give these type of people money, they will waste it. If you offer them an education, they won't study. And if you give them a job, they'll not be very productive, and you'll realize in short order that you made a mistake doing any one of these things. The simpler, naive people who believe anything but examine nothing. It's amazing to me. You know, these young minds filled with mush, they go out to these colleges and they believe every professor and what they say because they got a PhD that means push here, dummy. They'll tell you there's no difference between a man and a woman. You know, what world did they come from? What kind of nonsense are they spouting? And you know what? Then they spout the greatness of socialism. Well, pray tell me, where has that worked? Nowhere. But they're smart enough. It'll work under their education. Folks, people believe anything. You know, I've had one guy tell me time and time again when I would try to explain something to him, and he would say, well, that's not what my wife says. And I'm like, finally, I said, who made her the source of all knowledge? I said, I'm giving you the Word of God. Why don't you just believe it? Folks, simpletons, they believe anything that they are told. Now, they're naive. They are easily led astray and are quite gullible. They don't think things through. Then you have the scorners. Well, who's the scorner? Those people know it all. Now, I don't know about you, but when I was about 13, 15 years old, I was a know-it-all. You couldn't tell me anything. I didn't need no more education. Anybody else feel like that? Oh, your parents, man, you look at them, you say, oh, man, you old fogies don't know nothing. And then all of a sudden you get about 21, 22, and all of a sudden those people got an education, and you realize how stupid you were and that you should have listened to them. But you know, they know everything. They laugh at things that are really important. While the simple one has a blank look on their face, the scorner will have a sneer. Now, fools are people who willfully are ignorant of truth because they're stubborn and sinful. Their problem isn't a low IQ or a poor education. Their problem is a lack of spiritual desire to seek and find God's wisdom. Their outlook is purely materialistic, it is temporal, it is humanistic, they hate biblical knowledge, and have no interest in things eternal. They live for time alone. And they're what? Fools. What does wisdom say to them? First, she brings an indictment against them and asks how long they plan to remain in their dangerous spiritual condition. Wisdom has spoken to them time and time again, but they have refused to listen, which only makes their judgment more severe. Then wisdom issues an invitation that they turn from their evil ways and receive her gifts. This is a call to repentance and faith. She then promises to change their hearts, to teach them the wisdom of God from the Word of God. She's offering them the word for their ears and the spirit to teach them the word and make it real to them. I believe that all of us believers were at one time simple, scornful, and foolish. Maybe a combination of all three before we got saved. In my case, I was simple. I believed things in a religion that wasn't biblical. And in many cases, they taught the doctrines of devils. I was a scorner. And I sneered at true Christian faith. I didn't like the people. I didn't like the Bible. I had nothing to do with them. And I was even foolish. For I lived for this world and everything I could get out of it. Now, I remember reading my Bible halfway through one time. when I was about 18 years old, 19 years old. I wasn't saved. I was lost. And I read it through halfway through. I read from Genesis through like around Psalm 117. And I put it down and I said, this is the most ridiculous book I've ever read in my entire life. It makes no sense at all. I was one at that time that is described in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 13 and 14, where it is written, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man, that was me at the time, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are what? Foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. But at the ripe old age of 24, I heeded wisdom's invitation, and I placed my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I was indwelt by the Spirit of God who taught me the Word of God as I read it and as I sat under the preaching and teaching of it. And it changed me. And that Word continues to change me today. Yes, I'm not what I was, and I'm not what I will be. But I thank God that I'm growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I made my choice that shortly after I was saved, that I was going to believe the wisdom found in God's Word over everything I had been previously taught. It didn't matter what Mom and Dad said. It didn't matter what Grandma and Grandpa said. It didn't matter what I was taught in the school. I was going to believe what God had said. You say, why did you come to that conclusion? Well, because at the age of 24, my life was in such a mess. And I figured, you know what, if God can straighten it out, and I hope He can, I'm giving Him a shot. And if He can't, there's no hope for me. But thank God, the wisdom found in the Word of God will put you right on the right path. You know, I claimed Romans 3:4, let God be true and every man a liar. That's how I judge everything. If it doesn't line up with the Word of God, guess what? You're the liar, or whoever said it is. My mind needed to be renewed by the truth of the Word of God. For what one believes will determine how one behaves. So we see wisdom is offered unto men in verse 20 through 23. Now we'll take a look at wisdom being offended by men in verses 24 through 33. Notice in verses 24 and 25, it speaks of man's refusal. And it tells us, because I have called, and you what? Refused. I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. Now wisdom reproves men, because her call is disregarded. Wisdom takes a stand with arms outstretched at the great intersections of life, and as those with no ears to hear go on their way, ignoring her desperate need of wisdom. Apart from divine wisdom, we have no answers. No answers to such important questions as, where'd we come from?
Well, science says,
I'm sick of hearing about science. Science ain't based on fact. And you know what? Evolution's a theory. It's not a fact. Stop shoving it down our throat. Why don't we just believe wisdom has to say and say God created the heavens and the earth? We don't know where we came from without divine wisdom. There's all kinds of speculation. People come up with all kinds of nonsense. But we wouldn't know if we didn't have wisdom. We wouldn't know where we're going. You know, that's why people, they believe you live like a dog, die like a dog. That's why they believe, you know, in Nirvana, or they believe in some other place. And it's just total nonsense. We get wisdom from the Word of God that tells us where we're going. You know why so many commit suicide today? They don't know what life's all about. They live unsatisfied lives. There's an emptiness inside of them, and they've tried just about everything to fill it, and none of it works. You know, now I'm not saying that man doesn't have some foolish answers to those questions, but the wisdom of God gives us the truth and gives us answers from the Word of God. Not only is their call disregarded, but it is despised. It is set at naught. I suppose we have all heard some say such thing as, I don't care what the Bible says. You ever hear that? Or I'm not interested. Or I'm not a religious person. And by the way, they don't tend to be. And one of the great ones, I think, is, well, I'm a spiritual person, not a religious person. And you know what? They don't know spirituality at all. And if spirituality was dynamite, they wouldn't have enough to blow their nose. While one may think they can defy wisdom with impunity, they are sorely mistaken, for the consequences of such folly are often delayed. Now we see wisdom's reaction to being refused in verse 26 through 28. I also will laugh at your what? Oh, that ain't very nice. Well, you laughed at her, you're just reaping what you're sowing. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind. When distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. Notice the words in verse 26. It seems to indicate that just as those laughed at wisdom, laughed at God, laughed at God's people because they believed the book, guess what? They're going to be laughed at someday by wisdom itself. You see, they will reap what they have sown, for the time is coming when wisdom will laugh at them. And because they mocked wisdom, wisdom will mock them. Wisdom sees a storm of judgment coming that'll bring distress and anguish to all who reject God's invitation to call upon Him and seek Him early. Yes, one could say no to God today, but if they remain steadfast in that decision, there will also be a time when God will say no to them. And besides that, their heart can be so hardened that they will not ever respond to that invitation once they reject it. The wisdom one despises leads to desolation. And the word translated desolation in verse 27 means tempest. For when desolation comes, it often comes swiftly and it often comes violently. People can choose folly, but folly has an end that is unavoidable. Despising wisdom results in destruction. The word destruction in verse 27 means calamity. Have you ever noticed how hard life seems to be to those who are fools? And it always amazes me. They seem to do the same thing over and over, and the results remain the same, and they just don't get it. And I'm thinking to myself, how many times do you have to try the same recipe that it fails before you realize this ain't working? It's insanity to continue on like that. But the fool will do so. So many live their life by their own wits, and their nitwits for doing so. Life is hard enough, but it is certainly harder when you're stupid. Another consequence of ignoring wisdom's call is distress and anguish. Have you ever contemplated what Lot must have thought when he came to himself on that mountain after Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed? Do you think, man, you know what? That wasn't all that great of a decision I made way back when. You know, I just lost my wife. She turned into a pillar of salt. She seemed to love Sodom and Gomorrah so much that she didn't want to leave. And then, you know, here I am in this mountain, and you know what? I've committed incest with my two daughters. And you know what? They fathered two heathen nations. Boy, that decision sure was wrong on my behalf? Did he think is about his poor decisions that caused him to move there in the first place? Did he think, man, you know what? I should have let Uncle Abraham make the decision. He really had first choice, but I seized it from him. And I looked over there at the well-watered plains and I thought, oh, how great the riches I can have. Oh, it's good for my cattle. But was it good for rearing your kids? Did he not regret staying with his Uncle Abraham after Abraham risked his life to save him? I think he, like the prodigal, found out the folly of leaving godly and living with the godly. The end result of disregarding wisdom is desperation. They shall call for wisdom, but receive no answer. They shall seek for wisdom, but it is a lesson in futility. It is a worthless endeavor. By this time, I hope you realize this warning is about offending wisdom. And this offending wisdom isn't just for the lost. For we believers can also turn from the paths of wisdom. And we need to hear and heed the wise words that are found in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 and 17, where we are told, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." This advice is given to who? The Ephesian believers. "Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." Now, where do we find the will of God? We find it in the Word of God. So is one wise to avoid reading it? Is one wise to not study it? Is one wise not to put it into practice? That would be folly, would it not? Did not Achan suffer for his folly by taking that which belonged to the Lord in their conquest of Jericho? Did not David suffer for his folly of being with Bathsheba? And did not Ananias and Sapphira suffer for their folly in lying to the Holy Ghost? Wisdom gives two reasons why the time comes when she can no longer be found. The first is that she has been detested. And in verse 29 it says, "For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord." Their hatred of knowledge and their choice not to fear the Lord go together. People detest wisdom because wisdom cannot be separated from the fear of the Lord. Many people want no part of wisdom, for wisdom directs their thoughts to God, and that is something no infidel wants. I remember working at the hotel when I was in Bible college, and I remember there was a sodomite waiter. And I remember one time he was upset about something, and he looked up, and I was standing there watching him, and he looked up and said, God, I wish you'd see me through this. And then he, "But I don't even believe in you." You see what I'm saying? Now, how many think that's a fool? Years ago, a young man received some literature in the mail from an infidel and decided to write this one who was in hell back. Now, in his letter, he wrote, "Dear sir, if you have anything better than the Sermon on the Mount, the parable of the prodigal son, the story of the Good Samaritan, or any code of morals better than the Ten Commandments, or anything more consoling than the 23rd Psalm, or anything that'll throw more light on the future and reveal to me a Father more loving, kind, and merciful than the one found in the New Testament, please send it along." Nothing was ever mailed to him again. And the fool who sent such unwise, God-denying literature did not appreciate the response he received. For he, like those mentioned in Romans 1:28, do not like to retain God in their knowledge. The second reason wisdom can no longer be found is she is despised. Verse 30 tells us, "They would none of my counsel." They despised all my reproof. Now, wisdom's patience is great, but it is not endless. When wisdom is despised too often, she will lead one to themselves. Samson despised wisdom's counsel. His Nazarite vow was one of separation, and his long hair was a symbol of his consecration to the Lord. There was a direct link between his hair and the power he received, and Samson was fully aware of it. Yet he played the fool and told Delilah the truth of the secret of his hair and the power that he had, and she gave him the most expensive haircut in human history. By his own folly, he told wisdom he would have none of her counsel, and wisdom left him to his own ways. Then lastly, we see the results of neglecting wisdom in verse 31 and 32. Notice what it says. Therefore shall they eat the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. They will reap the consequence of not heeding what wisdom has to say. You know, the Old Testament Jew found this to be true. You know, the Lord told them that once in every 7 years, the land was to be barren. It was not to be sowed. It was not to be reaped. It was not to be harvested. Nothing. It was just to lay bare. Now, they were told that. It was in his word. And you know what? They thought they knew better. And so they never did that. For 490 years, they never let the land lay bare every 7 years. Now, whose land was it? It was God's land. And they were supposed to follow God's rule, were they not? Well, then guess what happened? The Babylonians came and took them captive. And God let that land lay barren for what? 70 years. 70 years they remained in captivity. You see, they failed to keep the law they thought was rather foolish. They didn't trust God. You know, I wonder how many of us look at some portion of the Bible or some command in the Bible, and we're kind of like those Old Testament Jews. I don't believe that. I'm not going to do that. That must not be for me. Man, that just doesn't sound right. I don't think, you know what, that that's what God means by that. What makes you different than these Old Testament Jews? What makes you think you got more wisdom than God in his word? Why can't you humble yourselves and subject your mind to the authority of the scriptures? You ain't that bright. Because if you were, you'd believe what thus saith the Lord. Notice his warning found in Leviticus 26, verse 32 through 35. And I will bring the land into desolation, and your enemies which dwell therein shall be astonished at it. And I'll scatter you among the heathen and draw out a sword after you, and your land shall be desolate, and your cities waste. Then shall the land enjoy her Sabbath as long as it lieth desolate, and ye be in your enemy's land. Even then shall the land rest and enjoy her Sabbath. As long as it lieth desolate, it shall rest, because it did not rest in your Sabbath when ye dwelt upon it. Israel was taken captive, spent 70 years in Babylon until the land enjoyed its Sabbath. There's also a law of retribution for turning away from wisdom, for it does not go well for the simple or the fool, for both who ignore wisdom will eventually find themselves in trouble. Notice verse 33. And happily this verse concludes this chapter. But whoso hearkeneth what? Unto me shall dwell what? And shall be quiet from the what? Fear of evil. Peace and safety belong to those who hear and heed wisdom's call. They will even be blessed with rest from an accusing conscience because they have lived and applied the word of God. So let me admonish you to hearken unto wisdom. Obey God's word. You know, he knows what's best for us. So let me ask you, have you heard wisdom's cry? You see, it does go out to one and all. But what does this book of wisdom do if we never pick it up and read it? We're not hearing its call. We best get into the book, and not only into the book, and find out what the will of the Lord is, but be doers of his will. Everyone standing, every head bowed, every eye closed. Wisdom. What a wonderful book the book of Proverbs is.